Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Much-needed aid reaching Gaza from a floating pier off the coast that was built by American soldiers.
The first trucks carrying desperately needed food aid rolled off that U.S. pier anchored to the Gaza coast. Israeli troops securing the site, but the White House says if U.S. troops who are out on the pier come under fire, they'll fire back.
ABC's Matt Gutman. A setback for efforts by the United Auto Workers Union to further expand into the southern U.S. Workers at two Mercedes-Benz facilities in Alabama voting against joining the union on Friday. Widespread power outages in Houston overnight as the area continues to work to clean up and restore electricity following deadly storms. Masters champion Scottie Scheffler arrested Friday as he was on his way to the PGA Championship. Louisville Metro Police charging him with second-degree assault of a police officer who they say was dragged by Scheffler's vehicle. Scheffler still made his tee time. This is ABC News. A Mongolian climber has been declared dead in this year's first fatality on Mount Everest.
Sherpas recovering the body of a Mongolian climber from Mount Everest, marking the first confirmed death on the world's highest mountain during this current climbing season. Another mountaineer went missing over the weekend and has yet to be found. Bad weather and high winds have complicated the search. Officials say over 300 people have died on the mountain so far. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
A decisive vote by Mercedes-Benz workers in Alabama sidetracking efforts by the UAW to make inroads in the southern U.S. Employees at two facilities for the company voted 56% against joining the union. UAW President Sean Fain.
This law stings. While this law stings, I'll be tell you this, you know, we're going to keep our heads up, keep our heads held high. These workers have nothing to do but be proud of the effort they put forth and what they've done. We fought the good fight.
I'm Mark Remillard, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. If you've got credit card debt, you are not alone. 61% of Americans do. This is the most in history. And today's average credit card interest rate is almost 28%. I hear about this every day. And when I see that many of us paying that much in interest, I get pretty mad. 25 to 30% interest, that is loan shark territory. I mean, how much money do these companies actually need? They deserve some profit for lending money, but come on. Me and the 6 million members at Work Money, the not-for-profit I run, we think hard work should earn us a good life. We tell companies and political leaders, and credit card companies in particular, they should do the right thing by everyday folks. You should join us. Text MONEY to 88285. That's M-O-N-E-Y to 88285 for info and tips on affordable living. This is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across to Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Friday, May 17th, 2024. Happy TGIF, Mr. Zommers.
And happy Friday to you as well. What a wonderful day.
It is. We are high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square here in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin. High is predicted to be near 80 degrees, sunny, and looks like same weather through the weekend. Should be picture perfect for most of Wisconsin this weekend.
Perfect weather for me to stay inside in the air conditioning.
But for me,
I understand it's great.
Yes,
for most
great,
people.
Yeah. But I mean, for me, the pollen seems to have lessened somewhat. I can feel myself recuperating from the old spring allergies a little bit, not completely, still a little clogged, but getting there. So, and what a night tonight! Looking forward to this in nervous anticipation. Joining my compadres, as we say in Spanish, the parents of my godsons, Kurt and Florcy, coming up from Monroe, Wisconsin. And we're going to Bree Stevens Field, not to see the fantastic Flamingo soccer team, but we're going to see the fantastic Willie Nelson and family in concert at Breeze Stevens tonight.
And that, I'm very excited for you. I actually had a bad dream about that last night.
Oh, no. What?
I did.
Really? Did you?
Yes.
What was it?
I almost don't want to say it.
Oh, Lord.
But no, it was basically, I just had a dream that you got to the concert and they had to cancel it because Willie Nelson died. And I was
no.
I was so upset. I was so upset.
Wow.
Now, I don't know why.
I think he's in fine health. He turned 90, and I think it'll be fine.
I was just thinking about it because I was like, that's so cool that Todd gets to go see Willie Nelson. And then my brain twisted it into something so dark and terrible.
These are the dreams that Mr. Zomers has about my life.
Apparently.
The tragedy.
Tragedy.
Tragedy strikes. I have enough real life tragedy. I don't need to invite dream tragedy in. But no, I'm excited about it. Should be a great time. And I believe his son, oldest son, Lucas, is traveling with him right now on the tour. And he has a phenomenal voice in his own band, in his own right. But boy, when he sings his dad's songs, it's eerily similar to the tone, the tenor, the vibrato. So I can't wait. Because I've never seen, I don't believe that Lucas was traveling with him last time. I saw him about 10 years ago across the street at the Overture Center with my good friend Chris Geezy. And we sat high in the balcony, and there was a certain perfume that got up that high, and there was something in the air. We'll say that.
Maybe while he's playing "Roll Me Up and Smoke Me When I Die" or something.
We'll feature a little Willie Nelson music throughout the show in honor of Willie. How about that, Mr. Zomers? We'll dial up a few tunes. So
sounds good.
We'll leave it to you to decide what you want to do. But Willie Nelson in town, so welcome to Willie and the entire Nelson family. Hope they have a great stay and a great time here in Madison, Wisconsin. We'll report to you on Monday what we found out there, how the concert went. But whatever you all are doing this weekend, make sure you do it safely. Make sure you have some fun, and a good time will be had by all. Perhaps you're going to be listening to certain stations across the Civic Media Radio Network, to the Brewers, as they are on the road tonight. They are at the Houston Astros. First pitch at 6:35 tonight. You can hear the game in Richland Center on WRCE in Racine and Kenosha, and also on Oshkosh Air Support, WISS in Oshkosh, and 98Q Country in Park Falls, 98.3 FM. So Brewers, I believe, a three-game stand over the weekend, Friday, today, Saturday, and Sunday against the Houston Astros. Then they move on to Miami to the Florida Marlins. So there you go. Tune in the Brew Crew and find out what's happening. They're still doing strong, still doing well. So that's fantastic. A little off the text line here, by the way. Listening on WAUK from Horicon, Sherry in Horicon said, "Good morning, boys. From Horicon, I love Willie." Well, who doesn't?
We also got a couple comments on YouTube.
Yeah.
Tony says, "Somehow Willie Nelson has maintained a very low-stress life, so
right?
He's going to live forever."
And
PJ
so.
Says that he saw Willie last year at Alpine Valley.
Really?
And giving you some advice. Make sure you inhale the great ale air that will be there. And Tony also said, really soak up the quote-unquote atmosphere.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, a little contact is okay. A little, I mean, sometimes you go out to Rocky Mountains, Rocky Mountain High. Sometimes you get a high without even going to the Rocky Mountains. So we'll see what's in the air tonight. But I think really the key thing is going to be the music.
And, yes, and, yeah,
and,
obviously.
And
obviously.
The guitar picking. That's the key thing, you understand, is going to be in the air. Well, a big show coming up here, and some of it more lighter fare. Going to check in on No Mo May. Why No Mo May may be No Mo. So we'll find out about that. And also, what would a Brontosaurus burger taste like? Remember the old cartoon series of the Flintstones? Apparently, researchers have now dug in and tried to figure out what an actual Brontosaurus burger might have tasted like.
I'm interested to hear that. I know I read some research on what a T-Rex burger would taste like. I'm not going to spoil it.
Okay.
We'll get to it after you talk about the Brontosaurus, but it was very interesting to hear.
We'll get into that. And also, a little bit more serious news, although it's just... Here's where we're at today in American politics and news. A Supreme Court justice is now under fire, Samuel Alito, after it's come to light and proven that during the 2021 era, leading up to January 6th, apparently the Alitos flew an American flag upside down. The New York Times has exposed this. And the way that Justice Alito is trying to cover this up, it's just, I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So we're going to check in with that a little bit, get your take on that. But first, some rather odd news from this morning, fairly breaking news. This from Axios. A police officer has been hospitalized after an incident that led to Scottie Scheffler's arrest. A police officer hospitalized this morning after being dragged by golfer Scottie Scheffler's vehicle near the site of this year's PGA Championship in an incident that led to Scheffler's arrest. Now, the big PGA Championship this weekend on CBS television. Why it matters, according to Axios, Scheffler, the top-ranked golfer in the world, was charged with, get this, felony assault on a police officer and three misdemeanors for the incident, which he says was, quote, a big misunderstanding. All right. He was released from jail later this morning and showed up shortly before his second round tee time at the championship, one of the PGA Tour's four major tournaments of the year. During or driving the news, roads near the country club in Louisville, Kentucky, where this is being played at, were blocked this morning after a fatal incident involving a pedestrian, according to local news reports. Now, we don't believe, it's not being reported, we don't believe that Scheffler was involved in that incident in any way, shape, or form. Scheffler's arrest citation noted that police had closed a road leading to the golf course in both directions and a detective was directing traffic. Well, Scheffler headed eastbound, pulled into the westbound lane. The detective stopped him and, quote, attempted to give him instructions, per the citation. Instead, Scheffler, quote, refused to comply and accelerated forward, unquote, dragging the detective to the ground and injuring him in the process. The officer was taken to the hospital for further treatment. The Louisville Metro Police Department did not immediately respond to Axios' request for comment. Scheffler was booked into the Louisville Metro Department of Corrections shortly before 7:30 this morning, per The Athletic. Now, I mean, what's going to be very interesting is how CBS, and knowing them and knowing Jim Nantz, probably not going to talk about it much at all, if any. But here, the number one golfer in the world is booked into the Louisville Metro Department for Corrections on the same morning that the PGA Championship takes place. And of course, you know, a guy has a certain amount of money, a person, and can afford certain attorneys, he's going to make his tee time. Now think what would have happened if that wasn't a white dude of privilege. I don't think that person would have made their tee time.
They may not have made it out alive.
I'm just guessing. Point well taken, Mr. Zommers. Scheffler now faces four charges: second-degree assault of a police officer, third-degree criminal mischief, reckless driving, and disregarding traffic signals from an officer directing traffic, his lawyers told reporters this morning. Scheffler has been scheduled, had been scheduled to tee off for his second-round championship at 8:48 local. His tee time was pushed back to 10:08, per the Washington Post. Mr. Scheffler isn't going to be able to make his tee time. He's in the slammer. There is video apparently showing Scheffler arriving at the golf course just after 9 a.m. In a statement posted to his Instagram story, Scheffler said he had been, quote, proceeding as directed by police officers, unquote, amid a chaotic scene. Went on to say, quote, there was a big misunderstanding of what I thought I was being asked to do, he wrote. I never intended to disregard any of the instructions, unquote. He went on to say, quote, I'm hopeful to put this aside and focus on golf today, unquote. Then he went on to express condolences to the family of the pedestrian killed in the earlier traffic incident. Again, to be clear, no indication that Scheffler had any involvement whatsoever in that tragic life-ending incident earlier in the day. But, I mean, I don't know. If there is a detective directing traffic and he stops you and he comes over to tell you where to go, and you accelerate and drag the police officer with you, the detective, I don't know how that's a misunderstanding. If I see someone with a badge or a gun or whatever that says stop, I'm going to tell you where to go. I don't just accelerate. I mean, I don't know, Mr. Zombie. I mean, what if you had that happen to you, would you accelerate?
No, I would be stopping and listening to what the uniformed person is telling me to do.
And realizing it was a detective, but so they might be in street clothes, but a detective usually would have a badge on his or her belt or probably have a gun holstered, or maybe not. But I mean, I would probably, in a situation like that, if anybody's directing traffic and they put up their hand and just approach the vehicle, I'm not just going to accelerate.
No, I'll stop.
Right. In the words of the great Vern Lundquist, CBS golf announcer, oh my goodness. Back with more on the All Ball Show. It's Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 past the hour of 12 noon on a Friday, May 17th. The wonderful, the fabulous Willie Nelson in concert tonight here in Madison. Looking forward to going. Mr. Zomers, well done. Playing that in honor of Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, maybe he should not be on the road again.
Scott, this is a very odd story. Number one golfer in the world, the PGA. Scotty Scheffler, arrested this morning and then released after dragging a police officer, I guess from the window. I don't know exactly how it happened, but there was another traffic incident where somebody tragically got killed, a pedestrian. So police were directing traffic, and Scotty Scheffler was trying to get to the country club for his tea time. And apparently this detective asked him to stop and approached the car, and instead Scheffler accelerated and drags the officer with him.
Maybe he had some contraband he was trying to hide in his car. I don't know. I can't think of a reason somebody would do that.
It's all very odd. But again, he was released, so apparently he made his tee time, and he will play in the PGA Championship.
Although Tony did say, I did hear that he was in a PGA car and others were being waved through.
Oh,
heard
really?
That on Up North News.
On Pat Cretlow's show? Okay, well, so he was in a PGA car. Others were being waved through, but...
But his wasn't.
Right. For whatever reason. Who knows? It's going to be very interesting to follow this over the weekend and find out what happens. I mean, last big golfer was, of course, Tiger Woods, when he had some addiction problems for various reasons and got in a car accident and... with his golf. Well, he's gotten a couple of car accidents. The last one that hurt his leg, I don't think it had, it was more of a, just a normal traffic accident. But when he was younger, of course, he got, he was on painkillers and drinking because all the pain that he had endured through his injuries. So Tony says he was charged with a felony and still gets to golf today. Yes, not saying that he's guilty or innocent, but that seems surprising. But again, I Tony's right. But as we talked before, it may have more to do with a person of wealth and privilege. You know, justice can be bought to a certain degree.
Yeah, we know somebody who's getting some nationwide coverage on that very thing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I hope he enjoys the graduation and actually attends it today.
I hope that's right. It is Baron von Trump's graduation today. So I hope that the Trumpster is there. We'll see if he turns up in Minnesota, as he said that he might do as well. So anyway, we'll keep following the Scottie Scheffler story. And if there is new news to bring you, we will do it. I want to turn to this rather odd story. Other stories been making news this morning. And this comes to us, there's various iterations of it being reported. This comes to us from Talking Points Memo. Great kind of insider political baseball stuff. I like the way it's written, so I want to bring it to you. This is by reporter David Kurtz of Talking Points Memo. Headline, The Insurrectionist in Our Midst. Stay with us here. We'll pick it up probably after the bottom of the hour break. It says here in Talking Points Memo, though we certainly did not need it, yesterday was a reminder that convicting, defeating, and incarcerating Donald Trump won't, by itself, rid us of the lawless insurrectionists that now populate the Republican Party, Congress, and, yes, the Supreme Court. In a breathtaking report from the New York Times' relentless Jody Cantor, neighbors of Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito provided evidence that the American flag was flying upside down outside his Alexandria, Virginia home in the run-up to January 20th, 2021's inauguration of Joe Biden. An unmistakable emblem of protest heavily adopted by the big lie, Stop the Steal crowd in the weeks after the 2020 election. I want to step away from the story here. For those that might be not of a certain age, you won't know this, but back in the days, particularly of one-room schoolhouses, and even after that, in rural areas, in particular, rural schoolhouses, this is long before the internet, long before smartphones, in some cases, long before telephones. But for a certain period of time in our country, many people, particularly schoolhouses, other places in the country, would fly the American flag on a daily basis. And so if you had a one-room school teacher, or if you had a rural school and you couldn't, maybe someone was very, very ill, maybe a teacher, someone was having a heart attack, maybe a child got injured, whatever it might be, someone from the school that the students and the teachers were trained, the way that you got help is you went outside and you quickly took down the U.S. flag, and then you turned it over upside down, and then you re-raised it. So if you see, for many years in this country, if you saw an upside down American flag being flown, it was a well-known symbol of distress, and that those people need help.
I might be wrong, but I believe that was used in the Navy as well.
Matt Flynn could tell us, but I don't doubt that. That could very well be the case. But so the upside down American flag meant something. It meant that help was needed immediately wherever you saw that flag being flown. And so, you know, fast forward to 2021, and MAGA Republicans, people, believers of the big lie and Stop the Steal, thought, oh, we'll fly the flag upside down to show that we're really serious about this, which, of course, is just as a reminder, it has been proven time and again by reporters, both conservative and liberal, by courts and justices and judges, including many of those appointed by Trump himself, it is beyond a shadow of a doubt that the 2020 election, Joe Biden won the election, Donald Trump lost the election. That's a direct quote, by the way, from former House Speaker, Republican Paul Ryan. So let's just put that out there first and foremost. So back to this story with the Talking Points memo. Remarkably, Samuel Alito, Justice Samuel Alito, admitted to the New York Times via email that the incident had happened, but, get this, blamed his wife for it, claiming she had been personally offended by a neighbor posting, I got to be careful here, what we are led to believe was an F Trump sign, only they used the whole word, F Trump sign, or a similarly blunt message in their own yard. So not in the Alito's yard, but in the neighbor's yard next to it. This is what Alito said to the New York Times, quote, I had no involvement whatsoever in the flying of the flag. It was briefly placed by Mrs. Alito in response to a neighbor's use of objectionable and personally insulting language on yard signs, unquote. So wait a minute here. We have a Supreme Court justice, U.S. Supreme Court justice, who is supposed to clearly understand freedom of speech. If your neighbor wants to put up an objectionable sign that you don't like, you can see if there's an ordinance against it, but you know,
otherwise
to get salty about this,
you just got to find a real big straw so you can suck it up.
I guess that's true too. We'll come back. We'll finish this story. It gets even quirkier because now Samuel Alito is trying to do cleanup on aisle 5 on Fox News. We'll tell you what he's saying. This is just odd and weird, and thank God it's Friday. Back with more after this. Stay tuned now for news, weather, and an agricultural update with Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. Much-needed aid reaching Gaza from a floating pier off the coast that was built by American soldiers.
The first trucks carrying desperately needed food aid rolled off that U.S. pier anchored to the Gaza coast. Israeli troops securing the site, but the White House says if U.S. troops who are out on the pier come under fire, they'll fire back.
ABC's Matt Gutman. A setback for efforts by the United Auto Workers Union to further expand into the southern U.S., workers at two Mercedes-Benz facilities in Alabama voting against joining the union on Friday. Widespread power outages in Houston overnight as the area continues to work to clean up and restore electricity following deadly storms. Masters champion Scottie Scheffler arrested Friday as he was on his way to the PGA Championship. Louisville Metro Police charging him with second-degree assault of a police officer who they say was dragged by Scheffler's vehicle. Scheffler still made his tee time. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Game 2 of the Brewers and Astros coming up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The two teams playing at Minute Maid Stadium in Houston, where over 1 million people are without power, millions of dollars of damage after a 100-mile-per-hour windstorm hit the city Thursday night. The Brewers losing last night's game 5-4. They were ahead in the fifth when Freddie Peralta gave up a 3-run homer to Jeremy Peña. So the Astros have now won 6 in a row, 4 games out of first, as they try and climb to the top of their division and at the same time get some rest for some of their starters, Astros manager Joe Espada.
It's a long stretch of game. We're in the middle of 16 games in a row. We have Thursday off, then we're going to another 13, so I try to map out some days off for some of these guys. I talk to them ahead of schedule, but it's not easy, especially when we're playing well, but it's important for us to have these players healthy for the long haul to get to where we want to get to.
NFL former Packers tight end Robert Tonyan has signed with the Minnesota Vikings. Tonyan spent the last year with the Chicago Bears. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
La Crosse area weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, sunshine and breezy, a chance of a thunderstorm, highs around 88. For tonight, mostly clear with a low around 53. Again, a scattered storm is possible. For Sunday, mostly cloudy, a high near 80. For Monday, chance of showers and storms, again a high near 80.
It's 64 at our studios.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the Raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
I've been marching since I was 17. I'm 74. And women need to get out. You need to vote because you don't want to go back to 1950 where you weren't allowed a credit card, where you weren't allowed to purchase a car or a home. These are things that are at stake.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us as we look back on the news of the weekend and how the Willie Nelson concert was and your phone calls. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. And it's 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, Friday, May 17th. TGIF, Zombers on the board. Toddy here on the microphone. Glad to be with you on a sunny Friday. If you want to join the conversation, we would welcome your calls. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842, or I'll make it easy, 855-75, and then spell out Civic, C-I-V-I-C. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, simply download it to your Apple or Android device. It's free, takes less than a minute, and you can take us with you wherever you go. If you're watching on the stream, by the way, you can watch us as well, either on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. Well, not Twitter. We call it Twix. Well, Craig Ferguson says it's not Twix. It's not X. It's Twix. Anyway, if you're watching us, I am modeling today. Look, I'm no Vanna White. I'm no Price is Right model. But I'm modeling one of our, I like this one. It's one of our new merch shirts. And you can find it at civicmedia.us. Thank you. Civicmedia.us, and I think click on shop, and this is kind of the purple or more maroonish, kind of a purple maroonish, and then Civic Media is spelled out on the front, so kind of a low-key, subtle shirt. I like that, so it just kind of gets the message out there, but also a very nice shirt. Let me step away from the microphone in just 1 second, and I will get you our hat.
Oh, yeah, it's a really nice hat, actually. All of these are made to order, and so they turned out really great. We got shipped a box of these hats that we ordered, and they've got embroidered Civic Media on the front, and now we're going to find out if it fits over headphones.
Well, I wasn't going to put it on necessarily, but here's the hat. I'll hold it up. It's, again, kind of in that maroonish purple color with the powder blue Civic and the red Media. See what we did there? It's a half, you know, a little blue, a little red, which puts Civic Media, you know, kind of a purplish. We're telling the truth here. You know, that's what it's about. It's not left or right. It's just telling the truth.
That's the idea. Wherever it may lead.
Wherever it may lead. And by the way, having fun doing it. That's the important part which we try to do. So, okay, we're going to finish this this story up. We started the last segment. And again, this is just quirky and odd and shows the unfortunate state where we're at in this country. Where with lots of places you can find this right now. This one, I think, sets it up well. It's from TalkingPointsMemo.com. And it has to do with this New York Times story yesterday, which uncovered, and as there is now proof, that United States Court, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, his home was flying the United States flag upside down on their property at their estate leading up to the inauguration of Joe Biden in 2021. And again, this was a well-known symbol at the time for the believers of the big lie and the Stop the Steal people. Hey, let's fly the flag upside down to show that our country, we feel our country is in trouble. And the Alitos were a part of this. So apparently now, rock solid proof, video or picture proof has been provided. The New York Times went with it. A great story by Jody Cantor, the reporter from the New York Times. And so to do cleanup on this, Justice Alito told the New York Times, quote, "I had no involvement whatsoever in flying of the flag. It was briefly placed by Mrs. Alito in response to a neighbor's use of objectionable and personally insulting language on yard signs." And this all stems from the neighbor putting up a yard sign on their property, the neighbor's, not the Alito's, the neighbor's property that said, and I'm cleaning this up for radio, F Trump, but use the whole word. Now, look, I'm not saying that I didn't condone, you know, ginning things up with the neighborhood. But again, under the First Amendment, the neighbor has the right to do that unless there's like a covenant or something for the neighborhood that bans all yard signs. Some property, some neighborhood, some gated
community. Who knows, there's associations.
Yeah, they could do that within the association. But if not, there's a constitutional right to put up a, even though it might be disturbing and offensive to some people, the neighbor had the right to put the sign up. So people listening on WMDX here in Madison, Robert from McFarland weighing in, saying Orville Peck. Oh, I'm sorry.
That was about Willie Nelson.
We'll come back. Yeah, there we go. Ben, listening on WRCE back in the hometown in Richland Center, said, Ben says, quote, "He had no control over something that is on his property. I'll use that excuse when it's time to mow the lawn." All right, well, I'll consult your local city council, Ben. Don't follow Justice Alito. So Alito is blaming this, and this is the oldest thing in the book, right? That the guy blames his wife. Well, it wasn't me, it was the wife. I mean, I just think that's unbelievable. Number two, you know, look, when you were a spouse of an elected official, and I spent 30 years in politics, it's not too often that the spouse vehemently disagrees with their elected official spouse or their government official spouse. And particularly when you're a judge or a Supreme Court official, I've known a lot of county judges in my time. And you might kind of know their private leanings. And you say, geez, you got a great spot for a yard sign. Well, I know, but you know, I can't put anything up. They're not supposed to show partiality, even if they have it. I mean, everybody has some kind of partiality, let's be honest. But a judge is supposed to be able to set that aside and at least give the appearance outwardly that they're going to be nonpartisan, especially a U.S. Supreme Court judge, right? So Alito blames this flying of the upside-down flag on his wife. Back to the story here by Talking Points Memo. Given how thin-skinned, peevish, and quick to offend Alito is himself, I suppose it would be no surprise if his wife were similarly small-minded. Note how Alito's statement, while it blames his wife, also obliquely defends her, quote, objectionable and personally insulting, unquote, and does nothing to disavow what she did. The message is sent, or the way it undermined his already compromised position on the high court. Alito spends much of his time harnessing perceived personal slights to high principle and running around tilting at windmills. Article says, I don't even know anything about his spouse, and she has little public profile, so we're left to wonder if they are kindred spirits in that regard. But even if the kind of people who get in fights with their neighbors and hold themselves in such high regard that they conflate their own wounded ego with fundamental principles, doesn't usually find themselves defending or touting insurrections. As two things now stand, the wives of the two Supreme Court justices, Virginia Thomas, of wife of Clarence Thomas, and Martha Ann Alito, have either publicly organized, backed, or expressed support for an effort to subvert the results of the 2020 election. Talking Points memo says, my only gripe with the New York Times story is that it quickly shifts from the facts of what happened to an analysis of the ethical implications for a sitting support for Supreme Court justice, including whether the Supreme Court's own rules apply to the justices themselves, whether they should be subject to the standards of everyone else in the federal judiciary, and the whys and wherefores of judges not doing anything to appear overtly partisan. Please, it's also pernicious. The more time we spend splitting hairs over the ethical niceties of this or that particular episode, the harder it is to see the big picture. Talking Points memo says, there wasn't merely a matter of the household of a sitting Supreme Court justice improperly demonstrating a partisan preference in a public way. This was a bold declaration or affinity for and alignment with the smoldering insurrection led by a president of the same party that had just been put down, but which still loomed as a threat to civic order. The peaceful transfer of power, which is that point, had still not yet happened, and the rule of law. All Alito can muster in response is to blame his wife? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Wisco Paul calling in on a Friday. Wisco, we appreciate it. What say you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Todd, and happy Friday to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. But the only, you know, the Supreme Court goes back to Gore Bush, and I really didn't get that upset back then because it was kind of a close call, and the Republicans just did a better job of explaining the whole thing than the Gore side. But this new revelation from the Supreme Court, everything's on the table. They are definitely corrupt because it's more than just this. Gorsuch took money. You know what? I I don't want to be too much of an alarmist. You know,
right.
I don't want to. But this isn't good. This isn't good for the country. This isn't good for anybody that you have a Supreme Court that you. They're going to put party before rule, the way it looks. So I don't know where to go with this, Todd, but I'm a little alarmed about the whole thing, especially with the upcoming election.
Right.
And you know how I feel about Trump. So
right.
With that, thanks for bringing this to light. Thanks for your show, and you have a great weekend.
Always appreciate it, Wisco. You have a great weekend as well. Wisco brings up a great point. And his point that I take away from this and is great is this. It once again emphasizes the importance of your vote in this election. As we've heard from others, particularly the Lincoln Project, there is no cavalry coming, all right? Or cavalry, maybe cavalry too. There is no cavalry coming. If you're one of these people that are like, well, the courts are going to take care of this. Well, there's 91 indictments. He'll have to be found guilty on one of these, and surely Trump won't be allowed to serve as president. Surely Republicans will come to their senses, the MAGAs, and abandon him. That somehow magically something else will happen that Trump won't be the nominee and will somehow prevent him from being president. Wake up, folks. Smell the coffee. That ain't happening. I don't know what the results of this current trial in New York are going to be. But if you're pinning your hopes on, even if he's found guilty and convicted, and potentially put under house arrest or something, that does not prevent him from being the nominee or elected or serving as president. The only way to stop Trump and Trumpism is to get your posteriors to the polls on November 5th and vote for Joe Biden. I hope it's also a wake-up call to my friends on the far left, folks that are upset with President Biden right now for various things and saying they're considering staying home or voting for someone else. That is a vote for Donald Trump. And that is a vote for someone who is going to empower this court, to Wisco's point, and most likely will appoint at least one, the next president most likely will appoint at least one more Supreme Court justice. Do you want to put this in the hands of yet another Trump-appointed Supreme Court justice? Even if you're disgruntled with Joe Biden, and you, for whatever reason that your personal feelings are that he's done a bad job or hasn't gone far enough, I respect that. I don't agree with it. I respect it. But think of it in these terms. Are you willing to let your feelings about Joe Biden help elect Trump again, which will most assuredly bring a national abortion ban, which most assuredly will abandon, get rid of marriage equality and other LGBTQ rights, will most assuredly gut the environment, will most assuredly make sure that rich people and billionaires get even more tax loopholes, and will most assuredly bring another Trump-appointed Supreme Court justice? Is standing on your principles of today worth letting all those other things happen? I would hope the answer is no. And it shows the importance of why you have to get out, why we have to get out to vote for Joe Biden. We're going to finish. There's one more footnote on this Alito stuff. He spoke to Fox News today, and it got weirder. We'll tell you after about it after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement, and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl. The Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having a good time doing it. Or having fun doing it, whichever you prefer. We have a good time and fun at the same time. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Zomer's on the board taking your phone calls. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Going to finish up here on this quirky, odd story broken by the New York Times yesterday. Just read you kind of the analysis piece from Talking Points memo on Justice Alito's household flying the American flag upside down in solidarity with these people that believe that the election was stolen and that somehow Biden wasn't and isn't the legitimate president, which he is. That's proven fact. And that a sitting Supreme Court justice was in solidarity with a movement that didn't believe in an election and tried to overturn it. New York Times apparently has concrete evidence of this, ran with it yesterday. Alito confirmed it, but blamed it on his wife. So it was my wife that flew the flag upside down, not me. Well, apparently now there's more cleanup going on from the Alito side, and he spoke with Shannon Bream, or Bream, B-R-E-A-M, Bream. Shannon Bream from Fox News. And Bream put this out on Twitter a couple of hours ago. Bream says, quote, "I spoke directly with Justice Alito about the flag story in the New York Times. In addition to what's in the story, he, Alito, told a neighbor on their street had an F. Trump sign that was within 50 feet of where children await for school buses on January 21st. Mrs. Alito brought this up with the neighbor. Hang on to your hat. According to Justice Alito, things escalated when the neighbor put up a sign personally addressing Mrs. Alito and blaming her for the January 6th attacks. Justice Alito says he and his wife were walking in the neighborhood and there were words between Mrs. Alito and the male at the home with the sign. Got to be very careful. Alito says the man engaged in vulgar language, quote, including the C word, unquote. I'm not making this up. Following the exchange, Mrs. Alito was distraught and hung the flag upside down, quote, for a short time. Justice Alito says some neighbors on the street are, quote, very political and acknowledged it was a heated time in the country. So this coming from Shannon Bream from Fox News. Now, again, New York Times has been able to produce concrete evidence of the U.S. flag hanging upside down on the Alito's property. Justice Alito has confirmed that. But then he not only blames his wife, he puts forth this story that is completely unconfirmed with no evidence that there was a heated exchange, that the derogatory word for a woman beginning with C is used. And so Mrs. Alito goes home and hangs the flag upside down. It seems to me like a lot of political cleanup for a person that got caught, Alito, being part of supporting an insurrection. And look, as much as I disagree with it, if people want to buy into this false narrative, a common citizen, that's one thing. This is a sitting U.S. Supreme Court justice. That ain't good, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Jack and Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling. What say you?
Well, yeah. Some of the neighbors are political. Excuse me.
Who's not these days, right?
Well, yeah, but most certainly there's no question that Alito is extremely political.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if anybody's going to blame any Supreme Court justice's wife for being involved in the insurrection, they need to look at Clarence Thomas.
Right.
But what I really wanted to address here is this. Every time there is some factual information that's given out and there's clear evidence,
mm-hmm.
we've got a third of the country that basically says that is that the evidence doesn't matter.
Right.
I'm going to believe what I'm going to believe. And this is probably the most dangerous thing about the MAGA movement is the ability to get people to deny reality, to deny evidence. And it goes all the way from the idiocy about the 2020 election to global warming, accepting the efficacy of vaccines. I mean, yeah. It just goes on and on and on. And if you look at the Project 2025 and what's proposed there, it's proposed that all scientific findings from any of the federal agencies have to be in alignment, and this is, I think, a quote, with conservative principles.
Right.
Excuse me?
Right.
Scientific findings?
Right.
I mean, that's basically saying here's the answer. You go ahead and prove it.
Appreciate the call, Jack. Got to get Gene here in from Eau Claire. Gene, I'm not sure what you make of this. Again, Justice Alito claims that the neighbor called his wife the quote-unquote C word. I'm not sure if he was talking about the Constitution or what, but Gene, what say you?
I say give me a break and my dog ate my homework. But using the American flag to turn it upside down to say F you to your neighbor, boy, she sure's got a lot of love for America and democracy if that's what she was trying to do. You know, this guy's been a questionable character for a long time, and so has Thomas and all of the things that have done since they're in the court. So I wish some legal scholar would give us some ideas of what in the devil we can do about this type of thing, because this is the highest court in the country. But thank you so much for this story. It's just amazing. Blame your wife.
Right?
Just like a typical, you know what, blame your wife. Have a good day and have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too, Gene. Thanks. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend yourself. Yeah, it's so bizarre to me. Because we're talking about a U.S. Supreme Court justice, all right? Even if you did get in words with your neighbors or on different sides of the fence, you were a Supreme Court justice. And it wasn't just flying the flag upside down. You knew that this was part of a signal, particularly at that time, that you were pro-insurrection. And it raises a lot of questions. You know, if the caller said Supreme Court Clarence Thomas and Alito, who seemingly, through their wives and otherwise, have bought into the big lie. Come back, lighten things up, more news on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned for news now. Hour number two of the show is ahead, right here on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle. WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media. Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillar. The first truckloads of much-needed aid reaching Gaza from a U.S.-built pier off the territory's coast. American military officials say they hope to scale operations from the pier up to 150 truckloads of aid each day. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators surrounding the Institute of Politics at the University of Chicago campus on Friday. Some of the demonstrators making it into the building and to the office of ABC News contributor and former Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp.
I think it was three students came in, two initially and then three eventually, into my office, masked, you know, basically saying I needed to leave. I'm like, well, no, I don't.
Heitkamp says she was not harmed. Police eventually entered the building and the protesters exited. A setback for the United Auto Workers Union on Friday as Mercedes-Benz workers in Alabama rejected an effort to join the union. It's a setback as the UAW has tried to expand operations in the southern U.S. This is ABC News. The world number one golfer and current Masters champion Scottie Scheffler was arrested Friday morning as he was on his way to compete in the PGA Championship. Authorities say Scheffler refused to obey traffic cops while they investigated a pedestrian fatality.
Scheffler drove slowly into the median.
It was very chaotic.
Where one officer tried to stop his car.
I said, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to get to my tee time.
According to the police report, the officer suffered pain, swelling, and abrasions to his left wrist and knee and was treated at the hospital. The golfer did say,
it's just a huge misunderstanding this morning. That'll get resolved, I think, fairly quickly.
Police taking him to jail in downtown Louisville, facing four charges, released within hours, in time to tee off, and he played well.
ABC's Trevor Ault. A former employee at OpenAI who resigned from the company this week speaking out saying that product safety has taken a backseat to shiny products, they wrote. Jan Lakey wrote on X that he disagrees with the company's leadership about its core priorities. Mark Remillard, ABC News.
The Todd Alba Show.
It's a fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan of like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, so what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can